Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Really excited about this next interview. A lot of you know Keenan Lowe from his time at the University of Oregon. Or hell, maybe you even know about his heroics at Park Rose High School. He's written a book, a memoir, called Hometown Victory. I have an advanced copy of the book. I'm telling you, you know I don't BS you. Pick this book up. Buy it. Get it where you can get a book. Go to Powell's and get a book when he does his signing on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. He and I will be at Powell's Books, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night, talking about Hometown Victory. Go to Barnes & Noble and buy Hometown Victory. Get on Amazon and buy Hometown Victory. But I'm telling you, it's an underdog story, but there's so much more to it than just what happened that day at Park Rose High School. And what hooked me, I got to be honest. You guys know Anna went to Park Rose High School. So it's near and dear to me, and I think Keenan Lowe was a hero before he even disarmed that student and put his arms around that kid, because I know the lift it was for him to pick that job and commit to those kids and turn them into winners. Keenan Lowe joining us now. Author Keenan Lowe is with us. How's that? How does that sit with you when I say author?
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Sounds pretty cool. I could get used to it.
Did you ever think, like, growing up, you probably had, like, posters on your bedroom wall and you wanted to be in the NFL, but did you think, you know, I'm going to write a book someday?
Yeah, no, not really. You know, but it has always been one of those things. I think it's like that for a lot of people where it's like, man, I would love to write a book one day, you know, and that's really that's where it started and ended for me until really that the pandemic started and I had a lot of time on my hands and I was like, yeah, you know what, I'm actually going to write this book. And I did it and couldn't be more excited with how it turned out and to get it in the hands of everyone, especially everyone in our community.
We're going to be at Powell's Books on Wednesday night talking about it. I encourage our listeners to show up at Powell's. You want to meet Keenan, you want to hear from him in person and get him to sign your book at Powell's, you should do that. Keenan, let's go back, though. Let's go back to, like, Jesuit High School. And, you know, at the very beginning of your book, you kind of talk about how you ended up there and what it meant to you to have that school put its arms around you. You know, you were a kid at that point. Probably you look back, you've come so far, but where was your mind as you went to Jesuit as a high school student?
You know, I grew up in Gresham. You know, I spent, you know, most of my time growing up in Gresham. So obviously on the east side of the city. And I had a cousin that went to Jesuit High School. His name was Michael, and he played big time baseball player, big time football player. And long story short, he inspired me to go to Jesuit. So my single mom, you know, she's the best in the world. You know, happy Mother's Day, of course. And she was able to uproot me, my brother, and my sister, moved us all the way to Beaverton so I could have an opportunity to go to Jesuit and you know, accomplish some of the dreams I've had, like playing football there and earning a scholarship and whatnot. So, yeah, I look back and, you know, it's been a long time since I was at that high school. And you know, that high school is near and dear to me. But obviously the sacrifice that my mom made to get me there is really what stands out in my head.
Did you realize at the time, like, you know, you look back and we all know, I do this with my own mom. I go, gosh, man, I had no idea when I was a kid. Like, I was clueless. Like, did you realize at the time what a sacrifice it was, or is that something you look back at now?
Yeah, that's something I look back at now. I thought I knew back then. You know, when you're young, you think you know a lot of things until you actually, you know, get some life perspective around you. So, you know, now I fully can comprehend how much of a sacrifice she was able to make for us. And obviously being a single mother and having three kids and being able to move and work extra jobs just so I could have an opportunity to go to Jesuit High School. You know, that's big time. And with this book, again, I got an opportunity to add my commentary on all those different types of things and tell my story. Like you said, it's much more than just the student in the hallway story. There's much more to that. And I offer my life experiences and some of my perspective, as well as some of my students and football players I had the opportunity to work with at Park Road.
Hometown Victory is the title of the book. Keenan Lowe's the author. He's with us, former Oregon Duck football player. You end up at Park Rose, and I can't help but wonder, you were a kid that, you know, you mentioned growing up in Gresham, you end up at Jesuit. I know what it meant for the kids at Park Rose to see Keenan Lowe pick them and go, hey, I'm in this with you. Was part of you going back to Park Rose, you kind of making good on leaving Gresham in the east side in the first place, or am I diving too deep there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could say that. You know, obviously the east side's a little bit, yeah, that's where I'm from. I'll just leave it at that. I'm from the east side of the city. So, you know, I was looking for an opportunity if I was going to go into high school coaching, especially head coaching opportunities. I was looking to get into it somewhere on the east side. And you know, things lined up the way they did. And Park Rose happened to be a school looking for a coach, and I happened to be a coach looking for a school. And it kind of worked out that way. And the more I did my, you know, dug into it and learned more about Park Rose, more than the surface level of what I've already knew about it, I knew I could actually make a big difference. And again, in the book, I get to go into how much of a difference those kids made on me in a certain time in my life when I really needed people.
Yeah, you gave up. I mean, you essentially gave up the NFL. I mean, you were in San Francisco and Philadelphia with Chip Kelly, and you said, you know, I want to do something else. I want to do something different. What did you learn from Chip Kelly?
Cool. Yeah, I learned a whole lot. You know, I learned a whole lot. I was, you know, obviously played for him and then worked for him for two organizations, and the Eagles and 49ers. And I think the biggest thing I learned from him is just how he approached his daily process. I mean, how he approached the day, how he approached a Tuesday and a Wednesday. And then I got to see him, you know, I got to see him at the highest levels, and we were winning all those ball games at Oregon. But then, you know, I get to see him in San Francisco, you know, on a Tuesday when we're 2-12 or something like that, and how he approached the day and how he came to work every day with a positive attitude and a smile on his face. Then I got to see how he backed up his quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, while he chose to take a stand. You know what I mean? Which Chip Kelly doesn't get enough credit for that. People, that gets kind of lost in the story. It is what it is. But I got to see all of that from the inside, from the coaching staff perspective. And, you know, I grew with Chip Kelly a lot, and he's really extended his hand to help me in my life because he appreciates how hard I worked for him. And I really do appreciate that man. And he's just a great dude, man.
Hometown Victory is the title of the book. Keenan Lowe with us is the author. You mentioned Kaepernick, and you were there for that. Did you know, from the outside, it got a lot of publicity, and it looked disruptive. But was it all that disruptive on the inside?
No, it wasn't. And that was the cool perspective that I was able to see in the seat that I was in. I got to turn on NFL Network from inside of the facility and see all the mess that they were making, you know, of it on ESPN and all that. But then I got to go to the offensive meeting and see Cap sitting in the front row with his notes out and everybody working towards a common goal to just try to win some ball games, you know. And, you know, he was a fan. He had a lot of fans on the team that supported him, whether they did openly or not. You know, it was a weird time for some of those guys to choose to do that because of some ramifications that could come from it potentially. So it was just a cool perspective I was in. And I really do feel blessed and feel like I got to see that and experience all that for a reason, and it really made me grow as a man and just, again, just give me life perspective.
You know, I keep looking at Kaepernick, and I saw him in the Super Bowl, and I grew up a Niner fan and, you know, watched him take that team to the Super Bowl. I got a hard time thinking he couldn't have been a backup somewhere in the league. You saw him at practice during those seasons and were around him. Did he have enough left in the tank to play for somebody?
Yeah, definitely. And again, we're talking years ago now, right?
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, I don't know what he looks like today. And it's been, 5 years or something like that since then. But during that time when I was there and I got to see him every day in practice, I mean, that dude could sling it. That dude was a natural leader. He came to work every day. Wasn't a distraction or anything, you know. So it's just kind of funny you know, I get a perspective on how sometimes a narrative gets painted in the media and all that, and then I get to see it in real life how it actually is. So that's one of those things you learn, and for me, that's like when I see stuff on TV and in the sports world and all these things, I take everything for a grain of salt because you're only getting one side of the picture, and that was kind of that was the perspective I was in and what I saw with the Cap ordeal, and he was a great dude, great teammate to all of those guys, and worked his butt off.
You know, we're talking to Keenan Lowe, and he will be with me on Wednesday night at Powell's Book, 7 o'clock. He will be talking about the book. He'll sign some books. If you have not picked up Hometown Victory, Wednesday night would be a great time to do it. If you're not going to be there, you should grab it on Amazon or get to your local bookstore and pick it up. It's a great book. I'm not blowing smoke at you. I got the advance copy. I dove into it one day. I meant to read like 3-4 pages and then read the rest later. I looked up and an hour had gone by, and I was having fun reading the book. Did you have fun writing it?
Yeah, man, it was a process, you know, and you don't understand how hard it actually is until you actually dive into that process. And, you know, writing a book and something like a memoir, kind of like I did, it's you get an opportunity to kind of review your life. You know, you get to review your life and lay down all the things that you learned in life and all those life lessons and experiences I've went through since I was a kid, to playing high school and going to Jesuit high school and playing at the University of Oregon with Marcus Mariota and DeAnthony Thomas, Chip Kelly, and then going into the league and being around Cap and coaching in the league as a youngster, and then having a best friend pass away of a drug overdose, and then coming back home and coaching high school football, you know. So I got a chance to really just lay down my whole life and really review it and look at it at such a unique lens that it was an awesome experience then putting it into writing and adding my commentary on that in a way that I think can help a lot of people, whether you're a young person, a sports lover, an educator, or, you know, anyone, a coach, anyone. I think it's a well-rounded story, a well-rounded book, and that we can get a lot of life lessons from it.
Amen to that. I think, you know, for people who are looking for a Father's Day gift, you know, I think it's the kind of book you could buy and you could send to dad, grandpa, or an uncle. Trey, your brother, is at Oregon State. I saw you at the spring game. What's that like for you to watch your kid brother out there still playing?
Man, it's awesome. You know, he has dreams of his own, just like I did too. So, I'm just excited to be a part of his process, and I get to sit in a pretty cool, again, perspective. Life is all perspective, you know, and I get to sit in a pretty cool seat where I get to watch my Ducks and root on Dan Lanning and some of those guys on the staff and that team. And then I also get to equally root for the Oregon State Beavers and Coach Smith and my younger brother who's a running back there, you know. So I'm invested in both programs right now, and it's a pretty cool seat to be in.
Yeah, I think it's neat to watch that. We're talking to Keenan Lowe. Again, Wednesday night, I will be with him at Powell's Book, 7 o'clock. We'll be doing a little Q&A. Keenan, before I cut you loose, you know, you could be coaching right now. You could be coaching a high school program. You could be in the NFL. You could be at UCLA with Chip Kelly. Are you where you want to be? Is there some part of you that misses being in the day-to-day of football?
Yeah, look, I love ball. I love football, and I grew to really love coaching. But again, the way I've tried to operate in my life is I'm going to continue to do the things that feel right to me. You know, if I would ask someone for advice and, hey, what should I do with my career? I'm sure a lot of people would say, yeah, keep going, go to this job, go to this university, go to this NFL organization. But I'm going to continue to live my life the way that I want to, and the way that makes me feel good. You know, and right now it feels like this is exactly what I should be doing. I should be putting out this book for the world and for the youngsters and the sports lovers out there, and get to tell my story. And then once this story is out, it's kind of cool for me. It's kind of like a reset, you know. Now I kind of get to start the next chapter, you know, the post-book chapter of who I want to be and the things I want to do, especially in this community. So I got a lot of stuff planned, and I'm just excited that this, you know, this book came about, and it came out in a way there that I'm very, very, very proud of.
I've got people messaging me saying, you know, the kid that you wrestled the shotgun away from and then ended up hugging and talking with, you know, how is that kid doing? Have you had contact with him recently? You know, I know he does factor in the book, and some people were really moved by that, but I was moved by kind of the actions afterwards where you put your arms around him.
Yeah, I know. I get that question a lot, and you know, quite frankly, we don't have an everyday relationship, you know. But everything that I've heard from, you know, from his people and all that is that he's doing really well, and that he's kind of recovered from kind of that mental health crisis that he was going through. And again, in the book, I'm excited that I got to add my commentary on exactly what happened that day. And you know, what that kid was going through. And again, it was a mental health crisis, and our kids go through a lot. You know, we all go through a lot these days. And again, this book provides life perspective. And, you know, if you have the more perspective you get, the easier it is to understand what other people are going through, you know. So that's what I tried to offer in this, and hopefully that we can continue to have a little bit more empathy for our young people especially, but also people suffering through mental health crises.
It's a great book. Pick it up. Hometown Victory. I will see you Wednesday night, Kanan, at Powell's.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on. I'll see you Wednesday.
All right. There he is, Kanan Lowe. Look, if you're looking for a book, either for yourself, I'm always looking for a book, right? I'm always looking for something to read, something to dive into, something that's going to make me think, something that's going to make me feel, something that I would love to pass on to other people. And I run into other people who are book people. I was out at Columbia. For example, Tim Boyle, the CEO of Columbia Sportswear, I had a sit-down with him not too long ago. And he says to me at the end of the sit-down, he goes, hey, can I give you a book? And he's the same way. He took me to his office, and he has this wall of library of books. And in the library of books, he starts picking these books off and gives me a book to take home. And then a few days later, I get a package from him. He's like, hey, I forgot to give you this book, too. Like, I love doing that too, and I want to give everybody this book. I wish I could, you know, give you all a copy of Hometown Victory, because when I started reading it, when I got the review copy, I said, okay, I better read this. I'm going to be interviewing Kanan. Let me dive into it. And a lot of times I get these books and I'll skim some pages and kind of just get the gist of it. Like, I can't read every book that's sent to me. It's insane. But I started reading this book and I went down the rabbit hole. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you do it with TikTok. You do it with Facebook. You do it with Instagram. Give this book an opportunity to win you over. I think it's a great story, and it's not just about the day at Park Rose High School. It's about Kanan, and I learned things about Kanan Lowe I did not know, his relationship with Chip Kelly, Colin Kaepernick, and others. I want you to leave it here. Anna's going to pop on the show, but if you want to see Kanan up close Wednesday night, 7 o'clock at Powell's, leave it here.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
My wife, Anna, has popped into the studio. I have so much I want to talk about this hour. I want to talk about Chris Paul. I want to talk about the fans who have now been banned from American Airlines Arena. I want to talk about the biggest mistake that a broadcaster made over the weekend. But first, Anna, can we talk just for a moment? Kanan Lowe was just on. He was the head football coach at Park Rose High School when he disarmed a student who walked into school with a shotgun. He's now written a book, Hometown Victory. He and I will be at Powell's Books on Wednesday night. He's going to do a signing. We'll do a little Q&A. But, you know, you went to Park Rose. That's your school.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and you were there. They were not very good in football.
No, they didn't win a single game all 4 years that I was there.
Okay.
We even lost our homecoming games.
Did that become kind of a running
joke
or
sadly, yeah. Yeah.
How did that fly?
It was pretty demoralizing. I mean, I think as a high school student, you didn't know much different back then, because I feel like high school sports did not take on the importance that they have now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but we sort of knew, we definitely knew within our conference we were the weakest team. And, you know, I would say it affected morale. So I was very happy to hear when he was going to Park Rose to be the coach.
And they won. They, you know, they made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They were good. And then comes student walking onto campus who's definitely troubled, mental health, you know, issue, as Kanan just said. And He brings a shotgun on, and Keenan happened to be the security guard at the school, football coach slash security guard, and he gets summoned, and we've all seen that video where he takes the gun from the kid and then he hugs the kid.
Yeah.
It's pretty remarkable.
It is.
That's your school.
It is, and what it says to me is that Keenan Lowe was preparing in his own way for that moment for years and years in advance, to know what to do in that moment, to have the, you know, to be collected and calm and, you know, have the right response the way that he did. That wasn't an accident, you know. It's not necessarily a happy coincidence, but how fortunate that he was in the right spot as that happened, and hopefully prevented a lot more tragedy that could have occurred.
Yeah, I think it's just remarkable, tragedy averted there. We've seen so many cases where nobody gets to the person who is on campus, and who knows what was going to happen that day, but best possible outcome given what we all saw.
Yeah. I mean, I think it speaks, frankly, to, you know, the path that we're all on, like the journey that we're all on and the experiences that we've been dealt and how we can utilize those, you know, in the moment that we are in right now, right? Like a lot of us don't spend a lot of time looking at the past. And I think for him, writing that book probably forced him to kind of analyze the steps that he took in his life and everything that led up to that moment. And there's something that we can learn from that.
It's interesting because I was thinking about it with the horse. You know, you got this.
The Kentucky Derby
horse?
Yeah.
It's a weird tangent, but I was thinking the same thing. Here's this horse, right?
Yeah.
Not even supposed to be in the field.
Right.
But there were some things that happened as you read some of the backstory to the horse winning. Like, you know, they entered the horse and said, we'll take a position as the second alternate.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the foresight to, you know, say, hey, look, we've run in these races. We have enough points to qualify. Let's take a gander.
Yeah.
Let's just say, you know, maybe two horses scratch and we get in. And then they're there at the track, and the owner and the jockey and the trainer said they all prepared as if they were going to race, even though they were really 99% sure they weren't racing.
Which is the same. Like if you're getting ready for a baseball game and there's a cloudy forecast, you don't prepare for a rainout.
No.
Like mentally.
Does you no
right?
good. Does you no good.
Yes.
You prepare like we're going to play.
Yes.
We're going to play. We could all learn from that. And then you watch the horse run the race. All right, December 26th, not that long ago, what, 5 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
4 or 5 months ago. So this horse races against Epicenter and loses by 14 and a half lengths in December, late December.
Mm-hmm.
Then this pace on the Derby is blistering fast. Sets up nicely for a horse that can finish, you know, and wasn't on the pace. So here comes, you know, here comes Rich Strike, and it's in perfect position with a jockey who's never won a big race, but has 5,200 starts, okay? He's been in a lot of horse races.
Yeah.
So you watch opportunity unfold. There's an angle that presents itself, that aerial camera angle. If you haven't seen it, I tweeted it out, at John Canzano BFT. I can't stop watching it. It's like crack. Like, I'm watching that thing at least once an hour. And I'm going.
Why? Because why is it so good to you?
It's very satisfying to me, one, to see an underdog win, but it is the kind of thing, like, if you're out there and, like, maybe for me, it's that I start Monday and I go, you know, I got a lot of things I got to do this week.
Yeah.
And I start thinking about all the things that are on my plate. And I start thinking, like, how am I gonna navigate all that? And then I watch this jockey and this horse that were behind, like, 20 other horses at the top of the turn navigate through, be very patient, wait for the openings, and then see, you know, it's us, it's humanity facing whatever you're going through. We've all been there in 20th place at the top of the track. And, you know, it just tells you, don't give up. It's how you finish, not how you start. And, you know, don't stop believing. Like, you know, it's what they did. They prepared themselves just like Keenan Lowe prepared himself. Is what, you know, my long way around here is that he was preparing his whole life. That horse, that jockey, that trainer, they were preparing their whole lives too.
Yeah, and that is a strong message, because it is like basically whatever you're facing, you likely already have the skill set. You likely already have experiences in your past that can help you overcome whatever it is that's in front of you right now, but you just have to draw upon it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, the other thing that strikes me is that damn broadcaster. That damn broadcaster.
not prepared for a key moment.
No. The I'm talking about the racetrack.
Oh, the racetrack
NBC
announcer,
call.
Yeah.
No, I what got me was you can tell that he couldn't believe it, you know? And it's part of what makes that overhead view so satisfying to me.
Yeah.
Is just listen in here. I'm just going to join this in progress. Listen, the whole race, he never says Rich Strike. He never mentions the horse's name.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about the greatest 2 minutes in sports, the most exciting 2 minutes in sports, the Kentucky Derby. The name Rich Strike does not come off the lips of the broadcaster calling the race until he declares him the winner. And that gets me, because it's like you can hear a broadcaster who has called all these big races, been in big moments, genuinely surprised.
The center has taken the lead as they arrive into the final furlong. Sandon is coming after him. Epicenter and Sandon, these two, stride for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. They're coming down to the wire. Epicenter, Sandon, Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh my goodness, the longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby. Rich Strike has done it in a stunning, unbelievable upset.
You can feel his surprise.
It's almost like he was blindsided by it.
Yes.
You know?
Did not see that one coming.
Right.
Then the horse started, you know, said, you know what? That's nothing. I'm going to eat a horse now.
Did you see that video?
Yes.
What is going on there? He's got like so much energy that he just starts biting other horses.
He's feisty.
Oh my
goodness. He's like,
goodness.
Who said I couldn't win?
That was the funniest video that I saw. Yeah.
All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about Chris Paul and the actions now of the Dallas Mavericks in support of the Phoenix Suns guard. Plus, the biggest mistake made in broadcasting over the weekend. And it was a doozy. Leave it here.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.